Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Blow It Out on Main studio, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, Legends and Influencers show today with writer, coach, athlete, Craig Olau. Thanks to partners Pin Oak Agency, Next Level Fitness, Blow It Out on Main, and Handsome Harry's, and the O-Bar Cafe, we are talking all things sports in the Metro East as usual. But this week, like I said, big special guest, a writer. He has now produced his second book-length work. Excited to talk to him. It's his second time on the show. But before we listen to Craig Olau, reminder, ladies, go down to Blow It Out on Main. It's Edwardsville's first blowout bar and hairstyling salon to help you achieve the most perfect look for any occasion, big or small. Their staff is dedicated to serving you, offering a variety of trendy styles that'll make you look and feel fabulous. Blow It Out on Main also specializes in providing custom party packages, everything from girls' night out to the day you tie the knot. They've got you covered. Book a blowout or find out more about party packages. Give them a call at 307-9999. And dudes, guys, if you want to look awesome like Cromer and me, Cromer who's not here today, get your haircut at Handsome Harry's right there at Blow It Out on Main. Give Hannah Brown a call at 581-3561. Get your hair looking good for the holidays. All right. Without further ado, welcome back to the show, Craig Olau.
That was quite the intro, man. If I had hair, I would definitely be going to that place. Oh, my goodness.
You've got hair. You've got plenty of hair. Well, you choose to crop it close. Go on down to see Hannah.
I probably may do that.
She may have you looking good. So for folks who aren't positive or who may not recall, Coach Olau is a baseball coach, a former SIUE Cougar, a current bowling coach, a current baseball coach at EHS. He wrote a book previously, and the name of that book was?
The first book is titled The Sons of Chester. The second book is Kings of the County League.
And Sons of Chester chronicled your time as a kid growing up playing baseball in the town of Chester and all the great things that you and your friends did playing all the sports together.
Yeah. Hanging out with my buddies and, you know, having the childhood that I have, and I know we talked about this on the last podcast, but, I just kind of reached a time in my life when baseball was kind of coming to an end. I was getting ready to quit playing. Obviously, I'm still coaching, and I'm still around the game, but just some memories kind of started flooding back into my head, and I wanted to have a little fun reminiscing on those memories and honoring those people who have made such a big difference in my life up until this point, and I couldn't think of a better way to, you know, have fun and do that in a meaningful way than to attempt to write a good story on it. And that's what I set out to do.
I loved it. I read it. And you had a partner in writing this.
Yeah, I could have never done it the caliber from which I did it without the help of a good friend of mine named Kevin Gingrich. He was the brains behind teaching me how to write meaningfully and editing and just giving me support along the way, whether it just be brutally honest support, telling me how bad I was, or the editing and the rewrites that he did.
You once said that he added the poetry to that book.
Yeah, he is a true literary genius. I always call him that, but he's a true literary genius, and he's a great poet at the same time. I don't know if those two are the same, but
they're related. I'm an English teacher. I'll give you that. So then you write the Kings of the County League, and Kings of the County League is not a sequel. It's baseball related, it's nonfiction, and it's a memoir. It's your accounts of what happened. Where does this book give us the basic premise of the Kings of the County League, which our folks can find right now in time for the holidays? Perfect gift for anybody who loves baseball or wants to hear a good yarn.
Well, I'll just kind of read you the synopsis on the back. It says, Kings of the County League presents baseball unadorned, a game sweet enough to lure ex-big leaguers, grown men married with kids still living for the occasional square-up, college upstarts dreaming of the pros, and the blossoming high school hopefuls looking to hang with the big boys every summer to the scorched, dusty sandlots in the middle of America's heartland.
Sweet. So this is a league, this is a county league, and these guys play where?
They play anywhere in the metro area. I mean, it ranges, used to range. I don't think Alton still has a team, but it ranges up to Alton and all the way down to Cape Girardeau on the Missouri side. So it's just Metro East County League baseball is what it is. And I wrote this, I wrote this book with similar intentions than that of the Sons of Chester, in a way that I'm honoring a man who has managed in this league and for the Waterloo Baseball Club for 60 plus years. And I'm honoring the players that I played with and against in this memoir.
Let's talk about your manager for a second. What's his name?
His name's Vernell Mayers. He's, he might be 85 years old. I'm not sure. I talk to him almost every week, but I never ask him of his age because I always feel like he's always 70 whenever I first met the man.
And he stayed 70.
Yeah, he stayed, I guess, 30 maybe.
is he still managing?
He is. Yeah, he's still trying to manage. He's managing, yes.
He's managing the team.
Yes.
And the name of the team for which you played?
From which I played, we started out as the Waterloo Buds, and then we became the Waterloo Millers. In 2008, 8 years after I was...
You switched from Budweiser to Miller?
Yeah, and there's an interesting story about that in the book.
Because I assumed you were talking about beer and not getting back to your hippie conversation.
Yeah, I don't know why you would assume that.
I said I'm not.
Oh, okay. I don't know why you wouldn't assume that then.
What page are you on?
I was just going to read you something about Vern. It's on page 7. It talks about Vern's true spirit as a man.
So this is Craig Olau reading from... Kings of the County League.
It is his love affair with his buds. He sees the unbridled romance in the amateur game, the competition, the fun, the guys hustling to the ball field after a day of work, changing into their uniforms and their cars, the lights, the sounds, the smells, the drinks afterward. While in a small way detesting the greed and ego that often seem to define most professional sports. This is Vernell Mayer stripped naked. This is his life, 60 plus years in baseball's bushes.
That's awesome. As an English teacher, I appreciate that. I like that. I think you got better as a writer. Is that possible?
You think I got better?
Oh, I'm sure you did. This is your second book. So you are more comfortable with the process. It only makes sense that you're a better writer.
I mean, in anything you do, the more you do it, if you're not getting better at it, there's something wrong. Then you should probably stop.
So how many years did you personally play in this baseball league? After you start at Chester in baseball and basketball and cross country, after your Chester athletic career and after you played baseball and were a major league hopeful at SIU Edwardsville, playing for the great Bo Collins?
Yes, Bo Collins, great guy.
After your... prodigious baseball career.
Well, I actually started playing in the Montclair League, also known as the Clare, the summer of 01. So I was just finishing my freshman year at junior college at SWCC.
Okay.
We had just finished losing in the district championship, you know, a few outs away from going to the College World Series, the JUCO World Series. Got on the bus, headed home, and a few days later I was playing with Vern.
So you've known Vern since 01?
Yes. Playing next to stars like Jimmy Wallig, Johnny Wallig.
You know. Now, when you say stars, what's the claim of fame of these guys? Why do you consider these guys stars?
They laid it on the line on the field every single day. They were great college baseball players. They played pro ball. They came back, and they continued to play the game that they love at a very high level. And... you know, talking to most of my teammates on this team, you know, over the course of 18 years, I mean, they say this brand of baseball was some of the most fun that they've ever had playing the game.
No paychecks.
no paychecks other than a few, you know, comped refreshments here and right. there. But
nobody's playing it for any type of materialistic rewards. Everyone's playing it because they want to play there. This is amateur sports like it's really supposed to be. This is sports like it's really supposed to be. And this is why the attraction here is obvious to, should be obvious to anyone. No knock on professional sports, but a lot of times when you watch professional athletes, they seem unengaged, laconic, like they just really don't want to be there. I think there's something to be said for watching people play who really want to be there. So when you see that in professional sports, it's obvious. When you see a Mark Fidrich or you see somebody who's really enthusiastic, just loves the game. So I think this book connects people with that genuine love for their game, whatever their game is.
Yeah, I feel like if you're a professional, you can't let it become a job for you. You have to keep that childlike attitude toward the game. And Vernie did it right. I mean, he fundraised all himself, so none of his players ever had to pay a dime to play. And, you know, when he asked us to play, we felt like we were wanted. You know, we're here to play for you, Vern. I mean, we're not paying you a dime to play. We're going to give you our all. And, you know, that too gave him power over us as well. Since we're not paying to be there, he had no loyalty to any of us. So if we didn't produce or if we didn't play and win, he was going to get rid of us. So,
and that happened?
Oh, yeah.
Dudes got cut.
Oh, it happened a lot. Yeah, for sure.
You got benched one time.
That's only because I forgot my pants.
I'm pretty sure that's against the law. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to play buck naked. But
yes.
Tell the story.
Oh, I mean, it was just a simple tournament game down in Old Valmar and came to the game. I don't
where?
Know.
Game I don't, where?
Down in Old Valmar.
Old Valmar. Because you called it Old Valmar.
Old Valmar?
You put it in.
It sounds like a country
like
song.
Old, yeah, you did. You put like down at Old Pete's Cafe. Oh, like Old okay. Valmar.
All right.
There was no D or two words in that. Old Valmar.
Well, down in Old Valmar, we had a tournament game. And I don't know what I was doing the night before, what I was thinking the morning of. But
I know what you were doing the night before.
But I forgot my pants.
I know what you were doing the night before if you forget your pants the next day when you go to the baseball. Were you married at this time?
I can't remember. I can't really remember. But no, I came to the ballpark without any pants. I thought one of the POs would give me their pants. And old Vernie told, you know.
What's PO? Prison officer?
Prison officer, pitcher only.
PO is pitcher only. Okay.
You know, fair enough. You know, a pitcher is not going to pitch. Give old Olau your pants so I can play. Vernie overheard me ask, and he said, nope, don't give him pants. Jimmy, you're going to play. Jimmy Wall, referencing the 44-year-old half-blind former all-star semi-pro home run king, all-time home run king in the country, Jimmy Wallach. He comes in with one eye and goes 4 for 4, and I thought I was done. I thought he had my spot for the rest of the year.
Why wouldn't Vern play Jimmy Walleye the rest of the year? I would have never played.
Walleye? Wallig.
They call him the fish?
I don't know why he didn't play him the rest of the year, but he put me back in the next day, and I hit a couple home runs, and I think I earned my spot back.
Is this story in the book?
It is. It is.
Well, I can't wait to read that part.
Can I read another section here?
Will you please? Give me the page number. I want to read along with you.
Page 39.
I'm on it.
Paragraph 3, line 1.
Okay.
Cool, sunny, and calm ruled the evening. It was opening day. The initial unease of the challenging commute had worn off, and it was time to play ball. The setting sun shone brightly on us. The breeze smelled fresh of cool-cut grass. Newly painted green benches sat comfortably behind the old steel backstop. The tall maples shaded each line where the crowd could gather. The beautiful topography set the field front and center, laminated by the shadows of the setting sun. The grass was the best kept lawn in the county, clean as the living room floor on which you practice your Mickey Mantle hook slide. Or practice the Mickey Mantle hook slide your dad taught you.
How about that? Did your dad teach you a Mickey Mantle hook slide?
I don't know if... I don't know if it was him or if it was my grandpa. I think my grandpa made mention of it back in the back when I was growing up. But I've referenced my dad in here because there's kind of a father-son theme throughout this book as well with Vernie and his son Clay.
Let's go back to what you read here, though. You're painting the picture here of a very romantic vision of baseball in America, amateur baseball in America. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
And I think America has been doing that for 100 years. Would you agree with that? And yeah. I think sometimes other sports don't get that. We don't romanticize about other sports, or it seems less comfortable. I think America is very comfortable hearing this story. I think it's a great story. I think your last one was fantastic. And I think it's accepted to speak wistfully of baseball. I think it's considered America's grand game.
The air was growing cool as nighttime approached.
Where are we now?
We're on page 44.
Can I give it a crack?
Yeah, sure.
The air was growing cool as nighttime approached. It was now the fifth inning. I took the first pitch of at-bat number 3, an off-speed hammer down and away. What's a hammer?
What do you think it is?
I think a hammer is a curveball.
You got it. Yeah.
Also known as Uncle Charlie. I watched the second a fastball miss inside. With the count 2-0, it was time to change my approach. Patience was now an afterthought. I geared up for a swing. Ooh, here we go.
You can't read anything more.
You're going Willie Stargell. You're going huge. you're going big old swing.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
What did Vern teach you about baseball?
You know, I'm not going to lie. Vern didn't teach me a whole lot about the fundamentals of the game. But what he did teach me was about winning and competing. And I feel like that's the most important thing anyone, any coach or any man or woman or any father, mother, whoever, teaches their son or daughter just about anything. It's just to do your best, compete, and you're going out there to try to beat your opponent.
He taught you that.
Well, I had some of that in me already.
He is a largely competitive person, is what you're describing.
Correct.
And I think you have to be that if you're going to be a coach. I think if you're going to be a coach, a successful one, you have to really want to win. You have to be really competitive. I think people overlook that sometimes.
Well, you can't really coach that. You can't coach a person's competitive edge, but you can show them a competitive edge. I mean, if somebody sees how competitive you are, they're going to, I guess, in a way, that's teaching them to be a competitor. But, I mean,
it's contagious.
Yeah.
Whatever the coach's attitude is going to be contagious to the rest of the club, period. And if this guy really wanted to win, if Vern really wants to win, it's going to be contagious among his players.
And he put together teams that were filled with competitors. He knew how to put together a team and the right mix of personalities and players to make that team successful.
I want to call a timeout here and talk about our partners at Pin Oak Agency. Andy Callaway at Pin Oak Agency, whom last week Tim Doherty called the epitome of his football program. Why? Because Andy is reliable, tough, and smart. Andy is here to help your family safeguard against the unexpected and plan for the future. Give Pin Oak Agency a call today at 288-9375. He can help you out with your mortgage, too. He helped me. He's helping me save money on a monthly and yearly basis. Give Andy Callaway a call at Pin Oak Agency and tell him we sent you. Back here now with Craig Olau, writer, talking about his book, Kings of the County League. So who should buy this book? Who should read this book?
Obviously, any baseball lover. But anybody who ever, I don't know, grew up, you know, dreaming of the game, or any fan of the game, or anybody that really just wants to read a good book and reminisce on, you know, previous memories and previous experiences, I think.
And where can people find Kings of the County League? Amazon, is that the best place to find this book?
Yep. Amazon's got all of my different books.
Okay, now you said different books, and I'm glad you brought that up. We may get back to the Kings of the County League eventually, but I want to talk about you're walking out of the school 2 weeks ago. You're walking in, I'm walking out, and you're carrying what I think is a small folder, and you tell me it's a children's book that you've written. So in addition to writing Sons of Chester, Kings of the County League, a couple book-length memoirs on your baseball life.
They call those thick ones.
Is that what they call them, really?
They call them thick ones.
Publishers call them thick books.
Yeah.
And this is a children's book. You're lying. They don't call them thick books.
No, they do. Yeah.
And you've written a kid's book called The Active Book of Monsters, A Bedtime Story.
Yeah, and I was bringing that book into school for you to see. I was bringing that in to give you. And you just happened to be in the doorway welcoming me into school that day.
That's awesome.
Which was awesome.
And this book is also copyrighted in 2020. So you had a busy 2020. You literally published two books in 2020?
Well, when you're on quarantine, you need something to keep you sane. But I like to have a good time. And these books, I've got two Active Book of Monsters books that you can find on Amazon. But it was just something for me to have a little fun with. And I like to have a good time. And when my kids were younger, I think like 2, 4, and 6, respectfully, or I used to do a little freestyle story time at bedtime. And, you know, I'd act out certain monsters on the kids, and they
would, Tickle Monster and the Noogie Monster. You know, I've read this book.
There's 6 different monsters, and then there's 6 more in the Active Book of Monsters 2. And it's just an interactive bedtime book that you know, your kids will love and parents will love doing it as well.
Okay, and that's the word I want to emphasize here. Interactive. Because this is not just a kid's book that you read. This is a kid's book that you interact with your child on. So before we get to that interaction here, I got another question for you. For Madeline, Peyton, and Jocelyn, who are these people?
Those are my 3 children.
Okay.
Madeline's the oldest, Peyton's the middle, and Jocelyn's the youngest.
So you dedicated this book, this children's book, to your kids. Makes sense.
I needed somebody to dedicate it to.
Okay. So you read from your other book. So let's hear the first book. Let's hear the first page of the Active Book of Monsters.
Are you serious?
I want to hear it.
Okay. Can we go? I don't want to talk about the first monster.
Okay. You do you.
Okay.
Craig Olau, baseball coach, runner.
I'm going to envision
Metro East athlete. Bowling coach at EHS is now going to read from the Active Book of Monsters.
And I'm going to pretend like I'm reading this to you, since you're the only one here. Do you like noogies?
Yes.
Okay. So if you answered yes, then you might like the next monster. The Noogie Monster uses its knuckles to rub on the heads of playful children. Noogies may feel good, a little weird, or may even tickle. Would you like to meet the Noogie Monster?
No.
Okay, well then, it's time to go to bed, Dave.
That's what happens.
Yes.
So if you don't meet the monster, if you don't get the Noogie Monster or the Tickle Monster,
the book gets shut and we go to bed.
Oh, so the kid has to. So you're getting your. But yeah, so that you're wrestling with your kids
so
before
the
bed.
Kid
so
the, has
then they're not going
to
go to sleep.
This is not your typical bedtime story.
This is a fun bedtime story.
Yes.
Okay, that's why the kids love it.
Yes, and there's been some critics come out there. I'm not going to read my kid an interactive bedtime book that's going to get them all wound up. And I'm thinking, why not?
Communists.
You know, the kids don't want to go to sleep, so you might as well give them a bedtime story that they're not going to, you know, go right to sleep, right?
Exactly. So you've got 2 of these, 2 children's books.
Yes.
You've written 4 books.
Children's books are easy. They are so easy. I mean, I'm not illustrating them. Illustrating them is the hardest part.
And you've got a great illustrator.
Great illustrator. A good friend of mine. I can't give you his name because he wants to remain anonymous.
Really?
Because he's too busy anyway. If I disclose his name on over to the public, he'd. I don't think he'd probably help me out anymore. He'd be too busy helping everybody else out.
Well, I thank you for talking to us about the Active Book of Monsters, because that is a terrific book. So if you've got little kids in your life looking for a Christmas present, get on Amazon. And then Craig Olau, you can email him. He's easy to find. And he will send your kid a special message via email if you buy a copy of the book.
Is that right? Okay.
You'll return an email.
I'll have to think of that message.
You'll return an email like, I bought this book for my brother's triplets.
Only thing I ask, though, is if you don't like it or you have something negative to say about it, just keep that to yourself. Okay, but if you have something positive, or if you really like the books, leave reviews. Leave reviews, and social media posts are awesome.
So you're not looking for constructive criticism on this?
Not at this point,
Not from the public, not in terms of reviews and ratings.
No.
Same for this podcast. If you've got a positive
If you have a complaint, send me an email. Don't put it out in the public.
Speaking of positive messages, let me brag about EJ Jones for a second at Next Level. You know, he's making my son a better college tennis player. He's making a lot of these athletes in the Metro East better athletes, better at their sports, working with the high school coaches to help their athletes develop the right plans. Located in Edwardsville, just minutes from the SIUE baseball field, Next Level can help you recover from an injury or help any athlete maximize his or her talent using state-of-the-art equipment. Give EJ Jones and his staff a call at Next Level at 307-4567. And your son or daughter will start becoming a better athlete today. And if you're an adult and you're training for sports, he works with adults too. Give Next Level a call today. If Cromer was here, he'd tell you about all the great things he's doing with his son, Logan, who's playing baseball at Lewis and Clark. So anyway, back to you.
Let me read another excerpt, can I?
Back to the Kings of the County League.
Epilogue page.
Let's talk. Read the subtitle, too. I like the subtitle. Kings of the County League.
One summer, one team, one dynasty.
One dynasty. All right. Give me the page number.
Epilogue, page 2.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Baseball calls on more wisdom than any other game. It's the pauses in the action. Times to think. The best thinking that is done at these times is in the form of cliches. The worn truths you rely on. You dig down to hold your ground. Wisdom is when a cliche suddenly rings personal. Don't take your eyes off the ball. Follow through. It was advice that won the war our grandpas fought in. It may have been football that prepared men for the attacks of battle, the sketching forethought on map paper, and the charge and fusillade. The long waiting periods before, the concentration in the cockpit over enemy territory, the one eye clenched peering through crosshairs. It was baseball that conditioned the mentality of American boys from Brooklyn to San Francisco for World War II. Eisenhower was a football player, leading surges of one army against another, but Ted Williams, after batting .406, flew a fighter plane. Long waits and one moment to strike. Baseball was America's game.
Baseball is still America's game, is it? Or is football America's game? That's not the point of our conversation today, but even if football is more...
It definitely was America's game. I don't know if it still is. I'd say it still is, but it was.
Have you received much feedback from your teammates?
Yeah, I think they go...
Have you kept all the names the same? Have you changed any names at all?
Only a few names have been changed.
All right, and I'll let you answer the question now.
And I mentioned that.
Okay.
But I think my teammates kind of follow the same philosophy that I just kind of described about feedback, is I've only received good feedback from my teammates. So I'm assuming that the teammates that don't like how they're portrayed or how everything is portrayed or anything just haven't said anything to me.
And how about Vern? Has he read the book?
Vern absolutely loves it, which was my main goal in doing this project, was to... you know, meet his expectation, because he's known about this for a year or so. I've told him about it, and I've told him that I was working on it. I don't know if he really took me too serious, but when I say something, I mean it. When I tell people I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And he loves it. He's getting his tuxedo ready for Hollywood.
For for when they make this into the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or when we have to go to some Academy Award out there and accept an award.
I think Vern needs to be a guest on the Metro Esports podcast for sure. So this is this book chronicles a love affair with baseball, with this league, and with this manager. How about some of your teammates? You've mentioned a couple of them.
Well, you know, my teammates at the time, you never really understand the importance of your friends. I think a lot of time people, just everyone, they kind of take advantage of the time that they have with their friends, and they don't really understand how important just everyday stuff is, and everyday, you know, competing and fun and coaching and even conflict. Conflict between friends is okay. So don't, I think that everything that we went through just gets magnified in a good way at the more that we step away from it and as the years go by.
Wow. Dropping real wisdom here on the show.
Huh.
Not taking life for granted. That's one of the most common themes in literature and in art. Just notice, look. There you go. Heavy stuff, man.
I'm almost speechless after that. I don't know.
That may be it. You may be done.
Mic drop.
Yeah. just walk on out of here after that.
The spirit of baseball lives. The spirit is best understood by understanding and appreciating the baseball lifers represented in this story. That's epilogue page 3.
Right on. What's your relationship with the team now? Because you retired from playing.
Yeah, we had a little reunion, I don't know, last month when this book released. We went to Miller Furniture in Belleville. My old teammate and good friend Mark Miller, who owns and runs Miller Furniture, let us set up shop in there and had a little reunion. Had, you know, 8 or 9 old teammates come. Vern came and had some fun. Went out to eat afterwards, and it was a good time.
That's cool. But no official capacity for you with the team. You're not involved with the team at all in any official.
I don't know what
capacity.
Vern calls me. He calls me every week wondering if I know any players that can come down and play for him.
Do you think he is covertly trying to recruit you back into the league? could you put on the stirrup socks one more time?
I still have the one thing that would enable me to play. Can you guess what that is?
A fearless desire to be hit by a pitch and go to first base.
Close. The fearless desire to see the ball as it's coming in from the pitcher. I can still see. I still have my eyesight. So as long as you have your eyesight, you can still hit the ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if your hands get slow?
Well, the hands will come back as long as you practice a little bit and see pitching. It's just all about timing. But as long as you can see it, you can hit it.
And you feel like you can see it no matter what?
Oh, I can see it, baby.
Can you see it at what?
Huh?
At what level can you not see it? Like, can you see it at 94? Can you see it at 98?
Well, if you threw...
Have you ever seen it at 99?
I have not. I think the fastest pitch I ever saw was like 95.
And could you see that?
Oh, yeah. At the time, I could see it. Now, I don't know about now. Like, now it might be a little blurry at first, but if I see... It might take me 3 or 4 pitches to get my eyes trained to hit it. But you better believe I could hit it.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You obviously, I mean, baseball isn't something that you love. Baseball is something that's a part of you. What is it that attracts you so much to the game?
Well, I think it's just history is what it is. It's just the fact that I've done it ever since I was 6 years old. And when you do something your whole life and you enjoy it, it just becomes, like you said, it just becomes part of you. And it's just, you don't ever stop doing it, and it never leaves you. And if you stop doing it, that'd be like taking a huge part of you away. And that wouldn't be a good feeling.
And you're not playing baseball now, though, but you are still.
Oh, I'm still coaching it. I coach my son's 10U team. I coach the middle school team at Lincoln. I helped coach the varsity high school team with Coach Funkhauser. And, you know, it's a year-round thing for me. So
it's baseball still 12 months a year for
And
you.
Then I write about it from October to January.
Do you watch the major leagues?
You know, I don't watch a whole lot of baseball. I've never had cable in my entire life. I still don't. And the most un-American thing for me is not putting those baseball games on local television. So it prevents guys like me from watching it if I wanted to watch it.
The most un-American thing is not having the Cardinals on KPLR Channel 11.
Exactly.
Yes. Did you watch the Cardinals on KPLR Channel 11 when you were a kid at Chester?
I did.
Because yes. I did too, man.
Yeah.
And I was glued.
I watched the Cubs. We had some pirated WGN station too. I watched the Cubs.
Well, that's not cable?
I don't know. Is it? It was pirated. I don't think that was cable.
So I've never been a part of a household that would do something that illicit, but that's fine if that makes you feel okay. If you want to claim that.
Well,
that's okay.
Pirated, I mean we moved the antenna.
So what's next for you? I think the screenplay, you know, you're at the right place, the Lineup Media Group recording this podcast. I mean, this is a place that produces some heavy duty film work.
Okay.
So besides turning these two awesome books, or maybe even a kid's book here, maybe even a kid's movie here, Pixar. Maybe we need to get a hold of Pixar here and see if we can turn the Active Book of Monsters into a television series.
I like the way you think.
But I don't see you giving up all the stuff you do to just to become a film producer.
No, this is just one of those side joys that I have, just creating. It's kind of like my creative outlet.
Because you are a man of so many things. I don't know that they're talents, but they're interests. You are a man of so many talents and interests. How about that?
I would say interests.
You say, if you said it, if I've heard you say it once, I've heard you say it 10 times. Don't box me in. Don't put me in a box.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't be put in a box. Possibly could be put in a cage someday. But let's go through the list of your interests. Coach. All right, that's an easy one. You're a teacher. Easy. You're a great dad, husband. All that stuff's easy. Now let's get into, and you're a writer.
Now dad and husband are at the top.
Obviously.
At the top.
Okay. And
but my kids don't really want me anymore. And my wife, I don't know, it's questionable. So it's, I have
let's not
to,
go there.
Okay. We won't go there.
And you're a very spiritual man, and we're gonna leave that alone too. Let's go to some of these other things that you're into, that some of the other stuff you're into as well, like running till you black out. Let's get into that.
Oh, my goodness. I've never blacked out. Been close. But running, that is. Running. While running. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about these races that you run.
Well, I haven't done one. I'm looking to go to something. I'm looking to do one. I've kind of been getting the itch to go do one.
Like, but when you say do one what?
I don't know, like a 50-mile.
A 50-mile run.
I don't know, attempt something more than that.
More than 50 miles. You would attempt to run something more than 50 miles. If I have to drive 50 miles, I'm perturbed. I don't want to do it. It's too much work. And you're going to go run 50 miles.
Yeah, I mean, I have to get out and into nature somehow, some way. I mean, I don't want to just go take a little leisurely stroll through the woods and look at the trees and...
Yeah, I'm going to go play golf.
And go home and eat supper. You know, I want to go do something cool that not everybody wants to do. So, I mean, that's basically it.
So what are the distance runs that you have completed at this point?
Well, I've done a 50 down at Tunnel Hill.
And how long did the 50 take you?
It took me 12 hours. And I would not have finished it if my wife wasn't there to provide me company the last 15 miles. So thank you, Heather, for being there. And I wouldn't have completed my Ironman either if Heather wasn't there, because in the marathon for the Ironman, our hotel, you could see the top of the hotel, and it was a very nice hotel. I don't typically stay in nice hotels, but this one was nice. And with about 14 miles to go, it was dark, and I saw the hotel, and I realized how much I was hurting. I was thinking to myself, why don't I just walk off the course and let's go to the hotel? And I think Heather being there told me that I was a big dummy for thinking that and told me to keep going.
She told you that?
Oh, yeah. She said, you're an idiot.
You've come this far.
We came all the way down here. But, I mean, that's what happens when you push your body to the limit. You start to think. You think irrationally. You have very irrational thoughts. You start to even hallucinate in a way and see things that aren't there. And it's just, it's a cool experience when you come out of that and you finish the race.
Vision quest.
Is that what it is? A vision quest?
I don't know.
Well, that sounds like something that my kids played at the...
Well, no, if you're going on that vision quest, I mean, if you're going off and doing this and having visions, then this is a kind of a vision quest going back to the Native Americans.
Okay.
And they're you go off by yourself and you do something, you potentially eat something or deprive yourself of something, sleep, water, food.
Well, then that sounds exactly what it is.
Then you have exactly this vision, like then the movie Vision Quest.
I don't watch movies.
See, then in our last podcast, Jim Cromer and I talked to Daryl Thomas. And Jim Cromer talked about the movie Vision Quest forever, quoted it, and of course Daryl had seen it. It's an epic movie in the wrestling community.
It had to be
community.
From the '80s.
It is.
Okay.
Matthew Modine, if I'm not mistaken.
That's back when I was throwing donuts at houses. I wouldn't watch
and smoke bombs.
I wasn't watching movies back then.
You threw a smoke bomb at the house next door to you. Ooh. You've always been kind of a criminal.
Well, when you grow up in a town where nothing else really happens, you have to make things happen.
And of course I'm referencing a part from Sons of Chester.
Yes, and that was an accident that it went into the window.
And that was the most memorable part for many people that you said talk to you. So what is a part from Kings of the County League where people have read it and they come back to you and they say, you know what part really got to me was the part where you... Is there a particularly
well?
Memorable?
What's ironic that you bring that up is I actually just talked to a girl today who was in the Sons of Chester who almost killed my buddy and I.
Really?
And she and it was a great conversation. We would have never had this conversation. This is 25 years after the fact or 30 years after the fact, and she gets a hold of me again and we talk. And
I kind of remember that the car wreck.
We have a good conversation and we laugh at all. You know, we laugh about the
scary
story and the fact that she's still having car wrecks every October. And she assured me that it was mostly deer, her crashing into deer now rather than just...
She needs to stop.
That's what I told her. I said, you need to quit that.
Yeah. I'm not riding with her in October, by the way. Just...
Yeah, wise choice. Me neither.
Just
me
so you neither. Know.
I learned my lesson once.
So what else can you tell us about this here book, Kings of the County League?
Just a lot of history. It's got 60 years of statistics, which me and another local Edwardsville legend, Dave Calk, helped me compile in an Excel sheet.
He is a legend.
Where we had to take, I mean, we were looking through, you know, half century old ledgers, handwritten ledgers to get some of these stats out. And it was so much fun doing it just to kind of see the names and kind of see the stats and all the history that really went into this project.
Kings of the County League, one summer, one team, one dynasty. Find it on Amazon. Don't forget the Active Book of Monsters, kids book. Find it on Amazon. Craig Olau, EHS, bowling, baseball, runner, coach, athlete. Unbelievable to have you here again today.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time. Any other tidbits about the book or about life in general? Treasure your friends, the moments with your friends. You dropped that on us. What else? What else can you tell us?
Well, I wish I had the Benji Molina quote that was on the Sons of Chester cover. For every kid, I think I might have it memorized. For every kid who ever dreamed of hitting a home run, Este Libro Tocará Las Venas de Tu Corazón. This book will touch the veins of your heart.
How about that? Craig Olau, thanks so much for coming by from the Blow It Out on Main Studio. Big thanks to you, Craig Olau. You will receive a drink from the O'Bar Cafe, which is going to be open in about a month, right across from EHS, right next to Bella Milano. Thanks to partners Next Level Performance Institute, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management, for our producers Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, and my co-host Jim Cromer, who's not here today. Thanks for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.